Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love, thy mercy, and thy great goodness. We thank thee for Jesus Christ and him crucified, our only hope of glory. Father, we're thankful for our ministry here. We're thankful for our radio program, for our internet program. We're thankful for the thousands and thousands that's tuned in to us this morning. We pray that they might be able to learn from thy word. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have today to go forward to feed the poor and those that are homeless and down and out. We pray that you'll continue to bless them and be with them and bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to welcome our radio audience from all over the world to the regular worship service of the Main Street Church of Christ in Old East Dallas. We are a church that's dedicated to preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. And God has blessed us, and we continue to go forward doing those things. Amen. We have studied last week about Abraham, and we'll begin in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm going to give you the punchline before I give you the story. This is the bottom line of what we're going to be studying today. Now to Abraham and his seed, and this word here that we've studied over many weeks, this word seed means child, one child. All the way from the Garden of Eden, God's been promising one child is coming. The Christ, the Messiah, is coming. That this child is going to be the Christ is what Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 is teaching us. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, God, saith not into seeds as of many, but as one of one to thy seed, which is Christ. So here Paul tells us that the definition of this word is just as plain as day, that it means the Christ. I'll remind you that we studied last week in beginning in Genesis chapter 11 that Abraham is called from Ur of the Chaldees. And instead of going directly to the promised land, he went to the land of Aram. And so we find that in Hebrew, Ur means fire and Chaldees means destruction and Haran means fruitlessness. So Abraham is called from fire and destruction. And he goes someplace else, and he remains fruitless for 5 years. Then he comes to the promised land and begin reading in Genesis chapter 12 and begin reading in verse 6. And Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, which means the place of strength, and to the plain of Moreh, and Moreh means the place of instruction. And the Canaanites were in the land, and Canaanite means bow the knee. Now you remember this Moreh, that's going to have something to do with our lesson later on today, where Abraham first went. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, unto thy seed, here remember this word, to thy seed, to the child that's going to come, to thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar, the Lord had appeared to him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and Bethel means the house of God. So Abraham, just like all of us, every one of us, is called from fire and destruction and from fruitlessness to a place of strength, to a place of instruction where we might bow the knee, and that place is the house of God. If you'll turn with me now to Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15. We see in verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, lo unto me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born into my house is my heir. His servant is his heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heavens and tell the stars, for I'll be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And I want you to remember that we studied last week that that word counted is also translated. That same Greek word, when we get into Greek in the New Testament, is counted as reckoned. And it's counted as imputed, not imparted, imputed. And so it is counted righteousness. It is reckoned righteousness. It is imputed righteousness. Abraham was saved not because he was righteous. Abraham was saved in spite of his unrighteousness. As we get into Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, we see that God begins a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared. Now notice that the Lord said in verse 12, that in chapter 15, Abraham had a vision. Now the Lord has appeared to him. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Down to verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. Abram means high father. Abraham means a father of a multitude, or a father of a great people. And so Abraham now's name is changed to indicate that he is going to be the father of a great number of people. Now Abraham had tried through his own scheme, him and Sarah, to have a son, and they had Ishmael by Sarah's handmaid in the 16th chapter. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed. Notice this word seed again. It's always a three-way covenant between God, Abraham, and the Christ who's to come, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Down to verse 9. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. And this is a covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So God gives Abraham this covenant of circumcision. Now down to Genesis chapter 17, and we'll go down to verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarah. So he renamed Sarah. Down to verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Abraham laughed when God first told him that he was going to have a child. He laughed. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And he became the father of all Arabs. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. And so when we go down now to Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. And let's drop down. And so Abraham beseeches, the Lord's on his way to Sodom. And Abraham beseeches him to stay a while, down to verse 5. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, that ye may pass on. For therefore you come unto your servant. And they said, do as thou seest. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal and kneal it and make cakes upon the earth." And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to dress it. Down to verse 9. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "Am I waxed old, and shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old?" So this is the second time. Abraham laughed when he heard it the first time. Sarah laughed when she heard it the second time. Now God says, "Name that son Laughter." That's what Isaac means. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child when I am old?" Is there anything too hard for the Lord? "Now at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou did laugh." And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. I want you to remember now and keep in mind that there was no such thing in those days as Viagra, no such thing as hormone treatment, none of that stuff. These were old people. Anything that man can conceive of is not a miracle. It is a miracle when a 99-year-old man has a child, when a 90-year-old woman has a child. It's an absolute miracle. Anything that people can do of their own is not a miracle. Men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household," y'all need to pay attention to this, you got children, "and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Notice that he commands his children. You know, my grandson was over to house. Tiffany's grandson, my grandson was over to house a few months ago, and he said something, "I don't want to do that." And I said, "I don't care what you want. Grandkids don't get to vote, you know. It doesn't matter what you want. You do as you're told. You're like the dog. You do as you're told. Grandkids, kids and grandkids do what they're told. To do justice and judgment in the earth, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now to see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me, and I will know. Now, I'm not going to read this whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'd encourage you to go read it. But the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not just homosexuality. They raped the stranger. They didn't care whether you were men, women, boys, or girls. It didn't matter who you were. If you were a stranger, they raped the stranger. So that was the great sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was an absolute paradox, an opposite of the hospitality that Abraham showed. The Lord came to Abraham, and he showed hospitality to him. He killed a fatted calf, gave a great feast, treated the Lord like the Lord. And the Lord comes to Sodom, and they bang on the door and say, "Bring those men out that we may know them." And that Hebrew word there, "know them," is the same Hebrew word that says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son and called his name Seth." So it means sexual relations. And so verse 22, "And the men turned to face faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near. This is the story of Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham had courage enough to talk to the Lord, to reason with the Lord, to try to understand the Lord, and to plead for the wicked. Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, if there be 50 righteous within the city, will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare it for their sakes. And Abraham answers. And so Abraham begins to reason with God and bargain with God. Jews are famous for bargaining, and so they got it from Abraham right here. And he begins to bargain with God. And he says, well, what if there's just 45? Then what if there's just 40? And then he starts taking it down by 10. And what if there's just 30? What if there's just 20? What if there's just 10? And the Lord said, well, I'll spare it for the 10 righteous sake. So God had made this great promise to Abraham that he would have a child. If you'll turn with me now to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 in the New Testament. Abraham is old. God has promised him that he would have a child. And the Apostle Paul begins to speak about this time. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Verse 17, Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth, makes alive the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. This can be taken many ways. God calls the unrighteous as though they are righteous, because righteousness is imputed, counted, reckoned to them. God calls the unrighteous as if they were righteous. That's good news for us who are sinners, that God would call the unrighteous. Someone like a sinner like me would call me righteous, impute me righteous, reckon and count me as righteous. But also God called Abraham, who was as old as dead. He called him just like he was new. The things which are not as though they were, he called Abraham and said he could have a child, who against hope believed in hope. Now the word hope in the Bible is a different idea than what we have for hope. I'm sure that some of y'all went and bought lottery tickets last night. I'm just absolutely certain that there's somebody in this room, some dirty, no good rascal, that went and bought lottery tickets in spite of how I warned you. I'm going to warn you one other time, one more time. The mafia, through historically, gave the numbers rackets, they paid off 60-40. 60 for the chump, 40 for the mafia. Now let me tell you how the state pays off. The state pays off 40 for the chump and 60 for the state. Now, who's organized crime? Huh? Who's organized crime? Don't go buy those lottery tickets. It's a ripoff. But some of you went, in spite of my warning, and bought a lottery ticket last night. That was hope. You had the odds against you of over 16 million to 1 when it first started. Now they've raised it up to over 30 million to 1 against you. That's hope. But Bible hope is assurance, reliance. You know it beyond any doubt. Bible hope is real hope. You have a hold of it. You know that you're going to get it. There's no possibility of you losing. Bible hope is different. Bible hope, the better word, is assurance. So let's read it and understand what's being said here. Who against assurance, God assured him that I shall have a son. Who against assurance believed in assurance. Believed what God said. believed in assurance that he might become the father of many nations, according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God had told him that this Christ is going to come, is going to multiply and become as the stars of heaven. And every time another Christian is baptized into Christ, you put on Christ and you become just like one of the stars in heaven. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't fall out at the promise of God, faint at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. God was able to perform that promise that God gave him. God was able to perform and help him have a son in his old age. But Abraham had to perform too, because this was not an immaculate conception. Abraham had to perform too. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, instead of righteousness, in place of righteousness. I want you to get it in your mind that Abraham was not saved because he was righteous. Abraham was saved in spite of his unrighteousness. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time of which he had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare, Isaac. That word means laughter. Don't you know they laughed in their old age? To be without children was looked upon as being cursed by God. And God now has blessed them with a child in their old age. And he's named him Laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And women were looked at as being cursed of God because they were barren. And so everybody laughed. Can you imagine sitting around the campfire, around the tent, with the happiness and joy that was in that family when those old people had that baby? And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast that same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now you remember back in the 15th chapter, 400 years of persecution was promised about the Jews would be persecuted for 400 years. Now begins this 400 years of persecution, I believe. We can't really establish the absolute date, but as we go through this study, I think I'll be able to expound that to you and explain that to you when we get into the time of the period of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Now down to verse 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. You see how your sin slow walk you down? They had a scheme for having a child. God had given them a promise first that the child, that Abraham and Sarah would have a child. So they had a scheme for working out the promise of God. They just decide they'll do it through their handmaid. And so Abraham goes for the okie-doke, and what happens? Arabs are born, they'd be no Arabs if Abraham had kept his zipper up, would it? Be no Arabs in the world. Don't you know the Jews have hated that ever since? And so what's happened now? Well, now God's fulfilled the promise and jealousy has taken over. Your sins slow walk you down. Things will be found out about you. If you sin in secret, it'll be exposed, I'm telling you. And so now Abraham has to choose between the child of promise in his old age or the bondswoman's child. Because, sir, his wife's just not going to have it any other way. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. What I'm telling you, as I told you last week, often the problems we have today is because we made bad decisions yesterday. That's the problem. So always remember that. You do right, you won't have those problems. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondswoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Get this in your mind now. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. God promised him, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We'd like to ask our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fundamental and gospel preaching. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons on there, written lessons, all kinds of Bible courses, and 1,000 links. You can go to college on our website if you go on there. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now turn with me to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, bad translation. The word is nasa, to test. It's a prime root word. It means a divine adventure. God is going to take Abraham on a divine adventure. It also means to assay, to prove, to see what his metal is made out of. God is going to assay, he's going to prove, he's going to see what Abraham's metal is made out of. He's going to take him on a divine adventure, on a trip around the world, so to speak. And it came to pass after these things that God did test, would be a better word, Abraham, and said unto him, Abram, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah. Remember I told you, remember that Moriah, that's the first place that Abraham came when he came into the land, to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Now that was not strange, that was the habits of the Canaanites to offer their son. That was the very habits of the Canaanites. Today we have the same phenomena that the Muslims asked their fathers to offer their sons as what they call quote unquote martyrs. You know, I heard a joke the other day. Somebody said that they went on the web and said that they were suicidal, and they gave them some hotline over in Pakistan, and they all got excited and they wanted to know if they could drive a truck. Well, that's not God's way. God doesn't ask you to give your son in sacrifice. God gave his own son in sacrifice for you. It's opposite of that. But he's testing Abraham. He's trying Abraham. Now remember this Mount Moriah. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say unto David, Gad was a prophet, to say unto David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord on the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Down to 1 Chronicles 21, verse 28. Now, y'all can read all the things in between if you want to read the story later. And at that time, when David saw the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. Now look at 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." So David built an altar on Mount Moab. Now look at chapter 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1. David's son Solomon has become king. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moab. The same place that this is happening with Abraham is where the temple is being built in Jerusalem. Years later, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moab, where the house where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Now let's go to James chapter 1 verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, consider it all joy when ye fall into divers different temptations. There is value in trials that you have in life. There is great value in you having trials in life. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and another word for patience there is endurance. You know, people train to run races. They learn to endure. They learn to run and run and run further and further and further and further. You can't learn you can't run a marathon the first time you go out to practice to run. You've got to practice. You've got to learn, and through patience and through training, you've got to learn endurance. And so God, whenever we fall into divers temptations, divers trials, and let me tell you something. Whatever your sin is, in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about the near sin, the near roundabout sin, the sin that encloses us, the sin that's sweet to our mouth. I'm telling you, if you like cocaine, it's going to be everywhere there. If you like wild women, they're going to be like buses. They're going to run every 5 minutes and stop on every corner. If you like young boys, they're going to be there. If you like alcohol, it's going to be everywhere. Whatever your sin is, whatever sweet to your mouth, sweet to your taste, you've got to learn to overcome that sin, because it's going to keep being presented to you over and over and over again the rest of your life. The devil wants your soul. So it's the near sin, the sin that you're really geared for. That's the sin that God wants you to overcome. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance, but let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect. God would have us to be perfect by the time we die, and endure wanting in nothing. He wants us to become mature. Back now to Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. To the land of Moab, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood. He chopped the wood already and got it ready for the burnt offering, and rose up and went up into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Don't you know Abraham wrestled with this thing? This was the most precious thing that Abraham had, his son in his old age. And he knew that the Canaanites required the sacrifice of their children. He knew that all the nations around about them worshiped God that way. He knew he was being taught something because he knew something about the nature of God. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you." I want you to notice the last part of that sentence. It's really not plain in English, but in Hebrew you can see it. Abraham is saying, "And we will come again unto you." Abraham believed that no matter what he did, and he went up that mountain there, that they were going to come back again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." God will provide himself a lamb. He'll provide himself a sacrifice, a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him upon the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." How in the world could Abraham do that? Well, let's go to James chapter 2. There's two different types of faith that I want to talk to you about, but both of them are faith. The Hebrew writer says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance, the platform of things hoped for the things of assurance that we've been promised. Faith is a substance, a platform of the promises that God has given us, and there's evidence in it. Evidence will be provided. You'll be able to see fruit of that faith and evidence of things not seen. When we get to James chapter 2, verse 20, "But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." See, people, that word belief today and faith comes from the same Greek word, pistios, that the Baptists have a misconception of. Our Baptist friends have a misconception of. They think that it just means believe in your head. It means believe in your head. That's the idea of belief. But faith has got some works in it too. Let me give you an example. See this chair right here? That's a sturdy chair, isn't it? A real sturdy chair. I bet you if I sit down in that chair there could hold me up. I bet that chair wouldn't fall down if I sit down in it. Now, all I've done is talk about that chair. I still hadn't sat down in it, have I? And I won't demonstrate any faith in this chair at all until I finally sit down in it, will I? And I still hadn't sat down in it. All I've done is talk about that chair. That's not faith talking about it. It's not faith believing it. Faith is sitting down in the chair. So there's the faith that works, and there's the faith that believes. There's both. And both of them make the word faith, pistios, in the Greek. But will thou, O vain man, know that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? What if he hadn't have done that? There'd have been no works behind this belief that we're going to study about in a minute. Seest thou how that faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? See, you just can't believe without there being corresponding action. The Baptists say, oh, it's just belief. Just accept the Lord Jesus Christ and let him come into your heart. That's not belief. Abraham was called of God from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the promised land. He had to walk 2,000 miles. There was a lot of work involved in that walk, wasn't there? There was a lot of action involved in that walk. We need to help explain this to our friends and help them understand what these words mean. It's not just simple belief. It's belief in action. Now believest, now seest thou that faith wrought with his works, and by his works were faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, it said, and Abraham believed God, and it was imputed. Here it is again. He's quoting that same Genesis 15, verse 9. It was imputed, reckoned, or counted to him for righteousness. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. See then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So let's turn back now to Genesis chapter 22, verse 13. Genesis chapter 22, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket of his horns. And you remember, Abraham had told the lad, he said, God will provide himself a lamb, didn't he? And so here's what God has done, provided himself a lamb. And Abraham looked up into his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, for it is said, this day in the mount of the Lord shall it be seen. Jehovah Jireh is YHWH, Yahweh, Yahweh, in the mount of Yahweh, in the mount of the Lord will see to it, the Lord will provide, in other words. On this mountain, the Lord will provide. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, that in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. There's this word seed again, this word child that means the Christ. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand is on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his, notice his, a personal pronoun, his enemies, the Christ's enemies. And in thy seed, you're going to have to be in the Christ for this stuff to work for you. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, it was a real trial, wasn't it? When he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How did Abraham do this thing? Well, it's real simple, the Hebrew writer is telling us. Abraham had it worked out in his mind. faith is not a leap of faith into oblivion, into something that you can't see the bottom of. They tell all kinds of stories about jumping off the building and catch me and all that stuff. That's not the kind of faith the Bible has. The kind of faith that the Bible talks about is God cannot lie. God had promised Abraham what? In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Abraham knew that, and God, and Abraham knew, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. All of the patriarchs, everyone knew that the Christ was coming, that the death of an innocent victim was necessary because of the sins of the world, and that if he offered up Isaac, God had promised, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He knew if he offered up Isaac, that God had just raised Isaac from the dead, Isaac would be the Christ. He trusted God's word. God had said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. If he'd have plunged that knife in, he believed that God would have raised Isaac from the dead. How wonderful. That's Abraham's kind of faith. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We'd like to ask our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know therefore that they that are of faith, and the word there is really the faith. Remember, we studied this a few weeks ago about the article, the needs to be in there a lot of times. Well, right here is what? One of those times that the article, the, needs to be there. Only that are those that are of the faith. What does that mean? Pure, real, New Testament Christianity. Those that are really New Testament Christians, the same are the children of Abraham. Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, God, saith not the seeds as of many, like all the Jews. God wasn't promising all the Jews that they would receive the promises. They'd receive all the blessings. He was promising the Christ that, but as of one into thy seed, which is Christ. So what that word seed means, it means Christ. Now turn with me down to verse 26. For you're all the children of God by, again, the needs to be there, by the faith in Christ Jesus. New Testament Christianity. So if you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you put your faith and trust in Christ to save you, if you've repented of your sins, if you're prepared to confess Christ as Lord, this is talking to you. For ye are all the children of God by the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Anybody, men, women, boys, girls, anybody that's grown enough, you got to be old enough to know what you're doing. Boys and girls really don't count. You got to be young men, young women, old enough to have your sins counted to you. Verse 29, and if ye then be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be Abraham's child and heirs according to the promise? What promise? Well, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God promises that to you right now this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian, now's your opportunity. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
I surrender.